probably intro, because I don't think we even introed like last episode or any episode.
I don't think we've ever introed.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe that could be a new thing.
Oh, okay. Do you want to have a go at the intro and then I'll have a go?
Hang on. Didn't we used to start this where you used to do a song?
Welcome back to VR Side Chats. We're in quarantine. Give me some motivation, please. Dee dee.
Yeah, I mean, Now I remember why we never enjoyed it.
Rude, but fair.
That was when the intro died.
Yeah. Everyone's like, yeah, they haven't done any. Oh, yeah, that's why.
So we should probably give a little background into how this particular episode has come to be. About 20 minutes ago, I was quite happily enjoying a coffee on the sofa and just, you know, lazing about. And then I get a text from Alex saying, I'm feeling really inspired and I've got an hour before I need to leave the house. You want to do an episode now? And
go.
And I shot up, went and grabbed all my stuff, set up in the kitchen, ready to go.
Because this never happens.
Yeah. And then got a text like, well, what should we talk about?
Good point. We need a subject.
This has all been planned out. So we've now decided to talk about how to stay productive whilst in quarantine / isolation or whatever.
Yeah. You've had 2 weeks of being a lazy asshole, or to be fair, if you're a parent, pulling your hair out, trying to wrangle kids.
Okay. For a minute there, I thought you were talking like
to
me.
Not you. No, then listen now.
That's true, I have.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like you've had 2 leisurely weeks of like chilling and overwhelming yourself with news and social media. And maybe, I don't know, it feels like, to be fair, there's like a few different things, right? If you've got kids, then you're basically just kind of fucked. So, you know, so good on you if you're staying sane during all of that. But I would say that your priority is not being productive. It's to not kill your children. Or you've been scrambling to save work or to salvage work or to work out what you're going to do financially for the next few months if you've been furloughed or if you've like lost client work and stuff. And then the third sector of people, which is the majority of people, I get the sense of, which have just been doing sweet FA, which is like fair dues. But how can we use, but how can we use this time to light a fire under our ass? And to be fair, you've caught me on a particularly motivated Sunday. I have had 2 coffees.
You can tell by the tone of your voice. You are amped.
I'm on one.
Yeah. This is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's probably because I slept so good last night and I've had 2 coffees this morning and it's lovely sunshine outside and I am feeling it.
Wow. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
There you go, folks.
So we just need to engineer that scenario every single time you want to record a podcast, that's all.
I just make sure you get a good night's sleep. Just get 2 coffees sent to you first thing that morning.
I'm straight.
Delivered.
And a fake sun outside the window.
Yeah. Just a huge studio light. Just directed in.
Oh my god, I would believe it. Nice little Truman Show. But anyway, yeah. So what are your thoughts on staying productive during this time? Do you think it's important? How are you thinking about it?
Now, I think it's important. I hadn't really been practicing it myself up until yesterday, funnily enough. So this is quite interesting timing. prior to this, like everyone else, it's like, oh shit, you know, any client work I had is now gone or postponed for the foreseeable future, whenever, for the rest of the year. At this rate,
when are we ever gonna get out?
But then I saw a post on Facebook by I don't know if you know Ethan Shaftel, friend of the show.
Yeah,
he isn't. It could be if he listens. Hello, Ethan. You're right.
You're right, mate. Friend of the show.
And he'd just had one of his recent projects accepted into Tribeca,
Oh, I heard about this.
It also been funded by Veer, our friends at Veer.
Oh, interesting.
Which was interesting. Mm. And then that reminded me about, like, you know, doing the whole creator fund thing. Excuse me. So yesterday I started revisiting the horror anthology series that I mentioned a little while back.
Amazing.
And that has that kind of evolved into something slightly different yesterday. So it was so before it was like more it was very more like horror themed, whereas this is kind of more comedy horror and kind of like the stuff that I used to watch as a kid, things like anthology films like Creepshow. I don't know if you've ever seen Creepshow.
No, but I know of it.
Yeah, they were like very I don't know, it's like silly horror, I guess you'd call it. It wasn't scary because I used to watch it as a kid, so it was fine. And I slept fine afterwards.
And you were motivated to do a podcast.
Yeah. But I thought, oh, it would be fun to sort of kind of go down that road and, you know, maybe do it as like a homage to those kinds of movies that I grew up on as a kid. So, oh, really, and a lot cool. of them were like almost creature features as well. So it's like, oh, how would I do that on a budget? Like just create these creatures and stuff.
Yeah.
So it originally started out that it was going to be set in this, you know, future where, it was going to be set around these like two people that worked in a morgue. And they had this technology that, you could strap this machine to a corpse, mm-hmm. and then you strap this headset onto you, and then you can see how they died.
Ooh.
Like as if you were them.
Very eye zombie. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's moved away from that now. although I still like that idea, so please no one steal that. Or if you do want to do it, give me a shout.
Yeah, let's do it together. At least.
Because I didn't really feel like it, you know, worked with the silly horror. It's a more sort of serious tone for that particular thing. So mm-hmm. now it's gone the old school babysitter, like looking after some kids and just telling them scary stories to mess with.
Ooh, like Goosebumps style.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's kind of gone down that route at the moment. So now I spent part of yesterday just creating like these monsters
and stuff
that could come up.
But that
in each individual story.
That is so cool. And I'm so like excited to hear that, because I feel like there's nothing more creatively crippling than being kind of like stressed or overwhelmed, or, you know, being like in the same environment all the time. And I think like I've really struggled to like kick that creative gear into gear. So it's cool to hear that. Like, so what kind of prompted it? Just like being inspired by seeing Ethan's like
It was partly that, and I've also been watching loads of what feels like days, I've been watching loads of videos on this YouTube channel called Mr. Sunday Movies. And it's basically these two Australian guys just chatting about either terrible films or terrible games and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's just watching it and like listening to the way they sort of spoke about things. It felt like, oh, you know, these guys are on like the same, feel like they're on the same level and they have the same, like similar interests and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think they were talking about one thing in particular that might have been like an old creature feature. And I was like, oh, yeah, it'd be cool.
Hmm.
And then, and then my mind just started snowballing. And then, is that a phrase? Snowballing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right. Well, I was gonna copyright it if it wasn't.
No, I think that's quite a well-known phrase, but I appreciate your effort.
But is that... Because when that turns into a big ball, it's not a snowball anymore, is it? Is that still technically a snowball if you can't throw it?
Or the bottom of a snowman, I guess. At what point does it become snow boulder?
snow boulder. Yeah, so my mind started snow bouldering.
Nice.
And
now that you can copyright.
Yeah. And then I started hunting down all of those old like creep shows, and there was another one called The Willies. Which, you know, is
different kind iffy, of creepy
titling. Iffy titling. But interestingly, had I'm pretty sure, I can't remember now, but I'm sure it had Sean Astin of Goonies and Lord of the Rings fame in it, which I remember being good fun when I was a kid to watch. So then I started thinking about that. I was like, oh, there's a lot of creatures and stuff in that, so it'd be cool to do something like that. And then I started having a look on YouTube about how to create like creature effects on the cheap. And weirdly enough, there was a episode of Film Riot, and they bought a mask just from a Halloween store.
Yeah.
That was like $30. Didn't really do much to it. They just sprayed it with some water mixed with baby oil to give it like a sort of wettish look. Yeah. So it looked good in the light. I think they added a little bit more like fake blood around the teeth and mouth and stuff like that. But then you watch like the scene that they shot with it. It looks really good.
Ooh.
It looks, and they use a little bit of effects to make its eyes brighter and move its mouth a little bit. But it looked really good, and for like £30 or $30.
Yeah.
And then they made it where like they gave it a suit that was they had just lying around. You think? That's pretty good given what it is. So then that got me thinking of all these other things, and I've been researching like old urban legends that I can kind of maybe sort of base them around.
Oh, that's cool.
And things like that.
Yeah.
So just been having a bit of fun with it, which has been good fun because it's just like, you know, just being a kid.
It's like trying to turn off that part of your brain that's saying, oh, well, that's not possible, and that's not possible, and oh, that would cost a lot of money. Like, just actually shutting that down and being like, let me just let my brain run wild. Like, let me just kind of, create these worlds and these creatures. That's so cool.
And it's good fun as well, because it was just all the stuff that I used to love watching as a kid.
Yeah.
So it's just remembering, like, what I loved about it. And I suppose maybe it would be really aimed at a similar audience. I think that's why I thought the silly horror route would be more fun to go down, because then you can like throw some silly jokes in there and stuff to kind of lighten it. Because always, I feel like it's always good when you have that fine line between the horror and the comedy. Yeah. So you want it to be scary, but then you want to have those moments where you give the audience a bit of a breather.
Yeah.
So they're not on edge all the time.
One of my favorite, I mean, notoriously, I don't watch horror films because I'm a scaredy cat. But the last horror film I went to see in the cinema turned out to be a bit of a horridy comma, and to this day, I still have like
a horridy comma.
Oh my god,
that's a new genre.
The coffee's wearing off. Horridy comma.
You're gonna slowly start to break down now.
Oh my god, yeah, it's wearing off. It was Drag Me to Hell. Have you seen that film?
Oh, yes.
Love that film. Good. It's so funny. I crack up still at some of the lines in that film. Like, me and my friends have like inside jokes like from seeing that film still to this day that we just like just whip out at every opportunity. It's such a funny horror film. And yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? Especially like for someone like me who I don't particularly go out of my way to watch horror, but something like that I would absolutely watch again, because it's like that nice balance of like keeping you on your toes, but also then providing that comedy relief that kind of stays with you. So
have you ever seen the Evil Dead's films, like mainly two and three probably? So they're done by Sam Raimi, who did Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, right. Okay,
so the first Evil Dead he made when he was like a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much everyone that worked on that was a teenager, but that was kind of like a straight out and out horror. And then Evil Dead 2 is essentially a remake of that, but with more comedy elements in it. So that's more of a comedy horror or horror-y comma.
Horror-y comma.
The first one's the full one. Yeah. So then when he went on to do like the original Spider-Man movies and stuff, you can see that same style in it and stuff as well.
What, did he direct the Tobey Maguire?
Yeah. Spider-Man?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Which I revisited the other day and I'm not so sure anymore.
Oh, really?
It's just Tobey Maguire makes a lot of weird faces.
Oh, that's Tobey Maguire.
That you can't really take seriously. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, mate? I mean, obviously, he did the one in Spider-Man 2 when he's in front of the train. And it's just I don't even know what's going on there. But I don't think that's the face I would pull if I'm trying to stop a train, a runaway train.
The only thing I remember from the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies is the classic kiss with Kirsten Dunst upside down, and then I think it's in Spider-Man 3 where he turns evil and he does that weird
emo
dance down the street. Weird dance down the street.
That's the only thing I remember. It's absolutely embarrassing. Yeah, it's weird. Spider-Man 2 is still great, but yeah.
I love that. You know how before we started recording this, and I was like, we need to stay on subject because I've got a heart out at 20 past. And then we're already like, failed. How did we get to Spider-Man?
We've already failed.
That's what you come here for if you're listening to this podcast, right?
Yeah, you don't want to know about VR.
You didn't actually want practical advice, right?
I've just been working on new projects that I could potentially get started on once all of this has subsided, that may be.
Is your aim to then take these to someone like VIA and see if you can get funding, or are you thinking just going to DIY and try?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is going to be something because it's a series, so that so there'll be a few episodes behind it. So yeah, ideally I'd probably reach out to VIA, but I'd need to find out what their distribution strategy is, if it's just distributing through their channels or if I can release it elsewhere as well, because I imagine if they're funding it,
they'd want it behind their paywall.
I don't know,
but then something like something like this, like especially if it's got a horror, if you leaned into marketing it as more of a horror than a comedy, then it would probably have that arcade kind of
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Something that, because it would play quite well in that, you know, area, really.
Yeah, because I think, I swear we've talked about this on a previous episode, but I think the biggest reason why comedy and drama don't do well in terms of distribution worldwide with VR is purely because it's harder, because it's so culturally different depending on where you are. Yeah. So, but something like horror translates, hence why, you know, we all grew up with like the Korean and Japanese like horror films being kind of kings of the box office, or queens, whichever. Well, in the Rings case, I guess queens, because Samara, she is queen.
What's her name? It's not Samara. It is in the American ones, but we don't talk about this.
Oh, okay.
Sadako.
Oh, is that the actual,
Sadako.
Was the Ring Korean or Japanese?
So that was Japanese, the original Japanese. Ringu.
Ringu, that was it. Which just reminds me of Pingu, and we could go down.
Well, this is it. I think that's why they changed it to Ring when it got here. They were like, we can't, because people are going to think this is about a penguin.
Yeah,
we don't need that.
A penguin, an evil penguin coming out to kill you from the TV. To be fair, I would watch that spin-off of The Ring.
In VR? Would you watch that in VR?
Oh, I don't think I could watch anything horror in VR.
Well, this is the thing. That's why it takes on a whole new level for me, because I don't like get scared watching horror movies. I think I've kind of seen everything now, so I know the beats, so I know when it's coming, and I like the jump scares are just dull now because you can spot them coming a mile off, and it kind of feels a bit lazy to me. So now it's about shots that sort of stay with you, like Mike in the basement at the end of Blair Witch. Like, just that imagery stuck with me for ages after seeing that film for the first time.
Mm.
And it just freaked me out so much. But the immersiveness of VR making you feel like you're actually there takes on a whole new level. And even when I know, like, there's one in particular called Sisters, which is really good. I remember after the first time I watched it scared the absolute shit out of me. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And then
I laughed.
I remember watching it again afterwards.
Yeah,
and knowing when the bits were coming.
Mm.
But it still got me every time.
See, it still does now. And again, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole of talking about horror films when we're supposed to be talking about productivity with VR during quarantine. But although that in itself is quite horrific. So, but yeah, I remember as a kid, it was more the kind of faces that would stay with me. So the iconic like Scream and Freddy Krueger. Is it Freddy Krueger?
Yeah.
Like it was the iconic kind of face. I remember after watching Scream, I watched it with my I watched the whole series with my friend, and we sat there on the sofa, like literally with pillows, actually genuinely pillows in front of our faces, and just like classic. We must have only been like 12, 13. It couldn't have been like, it wasn't right for us to be watching these films. But anyway, I remember I wouldn't go upstairs alone for maybe like 2 years after watching that film, because I just imagined the Scream mask coming out of the closet, and that face just haunts me, even though I love Scary Movie, and it kind of obviously twisted the connotation of that mask for me. At the same time,
See, I grew up on the Freddy Krueger films. Really, I watched them ever since I was a kid, and I just found him really funny. I mean, he didn't have that comedy element to him in the first one. I think as it went on, he kind of became funnier and funnier. But I met him once at a convention. Here we go. This is when everyone learns I'm a geek. Not that I particularly hide it, but I am a geek.
Yeah.
And you could have your photo done with him. And it was like £30 to have your photo taken with him. I was like, oh my god, I have to. Like, I grew up on this guy. Went in there, and I didn't realise that he was going to be in character, not with the makeup and everything.
Yeah.
But he had the glove on, and he was doing the voice.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, holy shit, this is amazing. And then he did the push. He was like, "Well, it's down there," and all this. And then, as the guy's about to take the photo, he grabbed my face with the glove.
Oh!
I could feel like the actual knives were like metal, so it scared the shit out of me. Because I was like, "Oh my god, he's going to cut my face up!" Yeah. And you could see it in the final photo. Just the look of sheer terror in my face.
That's actually amazing.
Because there's just that they took the photo just as the realization hit. There's like, he could cut me up here.
Oh.
And I paid £30 for that.
And so that it's nice. Stayed with you ever since. Have you done the War of the Worlds experience in London yet?
No, I really want to do that, though, but I can't leave the house because...
Oh, of course, yeah.
Quarantine.
Yeah.
I just sit indoors and imagine how good it must be.
I did it before this all happened. Only like the other month, so must have just been before lockdown. In fact, I wonder how that's going to impact things like that. I mean, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was like a very clever way of straddling that line between horror, immersive, and just kind of fantastical and I don't know, like experiential VR.
Yeah,
it was really good. Like, I would say, like, for the people that have done it or people wanting to do it, I would say absolutely 100% worth doing, even just to see how people are integrating immersive into incorporating like immersive mediums, because they literally use all mediums. They use like a bit of room scale VR, they use a bit of 360, they use a bit of interactive, they use holograms, like dome, they've got everything basically.
Nice.
And it's all done maybe like 70% well. And there's definitely, as a VR professional, you'll go in and you'll like be able to nitpick until the cows come home. But for what it is and for the way that it integrates like all of that, those mediums into a live experience, it's absolutely fascinating. And again, as someone that doesn't like horror and will avoid it at all costs, I absolutely shit myself for a lot of it, because it is, I don't think it's not intentionally scary, but there's definitely some bits in it where it's really creepy, but definitely worth, when all of this is said and done, maybe, you know, the year 2022, go get your tickets, go see it.
Do they play the soundtrack, the original soundtrack throughout it as well?
I don't know, because I don't think I've seen the original.
Oh, you've never listened to the original soundtrack?
Don't think
so. War of the Worlds. Oh, that used to scare the crap out of me alone as a kid.
Really?
Just listen to that and then just imagine like the Martians coming down and stuff. Oh, God, it used to terrify me.
Ooh. Do you know what? I was just thinking, you should 100% do a horror podcast.
Okay.
I think you should.
So I'll start today.
You should find someone, or even just do it by yourself, like just chatting. But like, you like have so much knowledge on this subject, and it's clearly something that you're really passionate about. You should totally lean into it.
Most of my childhood watching people get fucked up. It's amazing that I haven't turned into like a serial killer, or have I?
It all comes out in
Don't go dig up my garden.
This podcast will be like the equivalent of Tiger King on Netflix. It'll be like the innocent podcast host that has been killing people for years. Oh my God, they'll use this as like, they'll come looking for
my hang on a minute, am I the Joe Exotic here?
Yep.
Oh, you God.
You throw your hair,
yeah, that's the one thing I wouldn't be able to do, have a mullet.
Who's your Carol Baskin via?
Coronavirus. Coronavirus is my Carol Baskin.
Yeah. Okay, I've only got 9 minutes.
Patrick, what about you? What have you been doing during this time to stay productive?
Yeah, so the first 2 weeks has been massively up and down because I've mainly been doing either finishing off work really quickly so that I could invoice to keep kind of cash flow afloat, or desperately kind of bashing phones to clients and to colleagues and things like that to try and get a good idea of what the next 3 to 6 months is going to look like. So all productions are on hold, but trying to like get a sense of at the earliest when things might get back to normal, because then that kind of feeds back into like my accountants and my bookkeepers building out a bit of a cash flow forecast for things. Yeah. That's been my first 2 weeks. So it's mostly been kind of reactive work rather than proactive productivity. But now that I'm coming to the end of all of the projects that kind of are still going, during this time, so I'm kind of like, you know, I'm slowing down a little bit, and so I have been thinking a lot about what I want to use this time for. And yesterday I was like trying to just have an absolute chill day, because I did kind of like get a bit overwhelmed last week, and anyone that follows me on Instagram would have seen that I was on the verge of a bit of a mental breakdown. Mainly though because I live alone during this time, and that's a really weird thing to be going through.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
It's kind of like strange, right? You're like, you go a few days and you're like, oh, I haven't hugged anyone for like a week. That's weird.
I don't know, to be honest, I'm kind of used to it now. Oh. So it doesn't feel any different to me. I tend to just talk to myself as it is, so.
Well,
it feels like there's
well rehearsed.
Four of us here.
All the different masks of Dan Hatton.
It helps being schizophrenic at this point.
Yeah, a little bit of that never hurts.
You're never alone.
So I feel like now is like the kind of the only the first time that I'm feeling that like, oh, okay, I actually have got some time to like shift gears and do some stuff. And I've absolutely shifted away from creative at the moment. And I think partly because, like I was saying earlier, and why I was kind of excited that you're feeling really creative, is I find that when my brain is like full of lots of like questions and overwhelm and like, you know, what ifs, the last thing that I can think about is like concentrate. Even though for a lot of people that would be escapism. For me, I find that really exhausting. I prefer to go into like more of like a scientific mathematics kind of like, let me look at like an actual structure that I can build that is regimented, and there is like a definite, yes, I can, you know, it's easy to just kind of like do it and go through it rather than having to be like, okay, write a script, which could take an endless amount of time. Anyway, so what I did yesterday was I basically wrote out the structure. We've talked a lot on this podcast before about like marketing funnels and sales and blah, 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 blah. So I basically like kind of took my own advice and I created a bit of a structure for what that business funnel kind of looks like now in this day and age, because not in this day and age, but in this time, in this particular time where more than ever companies and people looking to do business in immersive is definitely going to be changing, and it will be changing in some ways for the better and in some ways for the worse. So it's like, you know, more people than ever are trying to look for innovative solutions to kind of bring in more money or to boost sales or to be able to offer things that once were done in person virtually. So in that way, you've got this incredible opportunity with VR. But on the flip side of that, people are going to be tighter than ever with their money. They're going to be looking for a really solid, you know, reason to spend money on a new technology. And so I was building out this funnel. I mean, I hate the word funnel because it kind of becomes a little bit synonymous with like click funnels and things like that.
Yeah,
Which it's kind of like, well, everything that you do in life can be pulled through this idea of a funnel. So it's like, it makes sense to use that word. But anyway, so my next steps, like my next week, is going to look like this. I'm going to be redesigning my website because, I think websites are interesting because it feels like they're not as relevant anymore because everyone really finds out about you through social media. So it's more important that you've like got your social media on point. But I would argue that your website is kind of like a really important part of that kind of funnel. So like, whereas your social media is like the way that people can find out about you and find out about VR, and off the back of that, they might be like, well, let me get more information. Let me go and look at, you know, what has this person actually done? Let me go have a look at them. Let me go, you know, see what their website looks like or what they're offering. So I'm going to be redesigning my website, and I'm going to be trying to pivot a little more into strategy and coaching rather than production, because I've already got three productions like that are on hold right now. But as soon as this quarantine lifts, I'll be like, that's what I'll be doing. And I won't have any scope to take on any more, I don't think. And I don't necessarily want to, because the thing is with productions, as much as I love production, I love directing, I love like getting out there and actually being on set with actors, at the same time they take a long time to organize. They take, you know, from start to finish, a production could take like 3 months and like at the minimum. And I want to kind of, maybe it's the millennial in me, but I want some of that more instant gratification. I want to like be able to help people and also get people to grasp how good immersive could be for them quickly. Yeah. And I think consulting or, you know, helping people understand that first level, because the thing is, production, if you use the funnel analogy again, production is down analogy. The line. Funnel, a phonology, funnel analogy, already come. So many amazing phrases coming out of this one. we're just going to call this episode copyrighted. if you use the same analogy, in order for someone to pay you to do a production, they first have to understand why VR and 360 will be good for business. It's like that top of the funnel. And at the moment, I mean, I don't really know that many people that are doing that. You know, I know that there are consultants and I know that there are specialists that do that, but I don't know many people that have the experience that, let's say, we do, or the people listening to this who are professionals in creating VR. who can apply that knowledge up top and be like, yeah, you should use VR for this reason and this is why, and these are examples of productions that I've done which help, you know, bolster a company or whatever. So so that's what I'm going to be doing, I think. And I want to do more of this. Like, I want to put out more content. I'm like, I'm really enjoying getting kind of like the feedback and getting people reaching out about online. And that's really cool. And I know that everyone kind of talks about, oh, yeah, putting out social media content. But for me, I think it's been really nice to feel connected with the industry again. Yeah. So that's been really good.
It's interesting because I'm the complete opposite. I prefer the creative side. I'm like, I'm not good at the salesy stuff. I can't use all the sales jargon and go, this is all right. I'm just honest.
But that's stuff good,
like
that. But like,
you could use it. It doesn't really matter either way, does it?
Well, I think I think that's great because I think it's leaning into that. For me, I've really struggled in the last couple of years, and people still ask me like, Alex, what do you actually do? And I'm like, I don't know.
Because
I sit so firmly in between those roles. I'm not going to say that I'm not a good creative. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a bloody good creative. I'm a good director and I'm a good script writer. But I think if I look at, like, you know, the whole classic thing of like, look to what you do in your spare time and it'll tell you what you actually should be doing. Yeah. And most of the time in my spare time, the things that I actually really love doing is studying things like self-development and business and sales. And like, I love that shit. Like, I do straddle those two worlds. And for now, I've tried, like, for the last kind of year or two, and even potentially since I started in VR, I've been leaning into the creative side, and I've like gone through that burnout cycle, and I'm like, well, maybe it's time to try something different. And this other thing that I'm really passionate about and I'm really good at and I really love, which can also then in turn help other people, because, you know, absolutely, like with your creativity, you're helping people by being creative. You're going to create this end product, which then in turn will, you know, go on to inspire other people or, you know, create money, which will then pay crew or whatever it might be. Like, if you lean into your passion and the thing that you're good at and the thing that you naturally lean into, that will pay dividends, you know, it metaphorically or potentially actually in the long term. Whereas for me, I think I love the creative, but the thing that I'm really good at and the thing that will help the most people right now is understanding. Because the thing is, we're going to go through like the first, there's kind of different views on how badly this is going to affect the economy, but you know, there's no doubt about that it will have an impact. I mean, it already has, but you know, will it be as bad as 2008? I don't know, but either way, we should be prepared for that. And now is the time for people to be upskilling in how to sell their businesses and how to sell, especially immersive services, and thinking about how do we come out of this stronger. And there's going to be even more of a need, especially for things like virtual tours and things like that. That I would imagine that's going to go through the roof in terms of popularity because of this. So being in a position where I can say to people, okay, you've got the skills to make that virtual tour, but how now do you then communicate that to a client and how do you get work off the back of this? That to me feels like that gives me energy. That makes me feel excited right now rather than writing a script. And so I'm just kind of like going with that and just leaning in that.
Well, this is something I was looking at doing afterwards anyway, because I have quite a few contacts in like property and things like that. So virtual tours would be quite, you know, I don't want to say easy, but shouldn't be too difficult to arrange. Well, but before this kicked off, I was looking at going to like business meetups and just sort of speaking to people there and seeing if, you know, their businesses would benefit from it. Yeah. But then a pandemic happened.
That kind of screwed the plan. Just quickly, because I do have to run. But,
yes.
I'm like the only person in the world that's actually got like, how do I have shit to do during a quarantine, you might ask. Never underestimate my power of productivity.
True that.
But what I would say is, as a starting point, I am doing a webinar for the University of Essex on Wednesday the 8th, mm-hmm. I believe it is. And this was an event that I was scheduled to do before the pandemic.
Oh,
in person. And it's an opportunity for me to talk to businesses about how they can use immersive. Now, obviously, with all of this kicking off, it's now become a webinar, which means that it's not now exclusively for people in Essex. So anyone can join in. And I would say that if you're someone that does immersive and you're interested in how I pitch to businesses, then this might be an interesting thing to jump on. And just, obviously, I'm not going to be talking about the creative side of VR. I'm literally going to be talking to a business audience about why they should be considering immersive during this time. So it could be useful for people to like tune in and take some of what I'm saying. I mean, obviously this isn't going to be a sales pitch. It's just going to be like an overview, but you'll see how I change the way that I talk about immersive when I'm talking to a business audience. And that in itself will be quite useful, I think, to people.
How would anyone interested be able to come to that?
So
is there a link?
I think, let me just double check, but I think if you go,
so I'll put a link in the notes and stuff, but
oh yeah, that's good to chat. Yeah, if you can, at the moment, yeah. It's on my, if you go on my Instagram bio, I've got a link tree, and the first link is webinar 8th of April. If you click on it, it'll take you through to the Eventbrite. It's called Breaking Business Barriers, but I can send you the link to that Eventbrite if you want to just put a direct link.
That's right, I can just get it from Instagram. That'd be easy enough. Is there a limit on the amount of people that are going on it? Because obviously,
I don't.
If there is, then the quicker I'll put this out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they only have a license for up to, I think, 200 people, to be honest. But I doubt that they're going to get anywhere near those numbers. I think it would more be like, you know, a really small group of people, maybe like 10 to 15 or something. So there should be plenty of tickets, but definitely jump on. And
and what time is that?
That is, brace yourself, 9 a.m. on Wednesday the 8th.
Okay, so that's 9 a.m. GMT.
Yes.
Is it still GMT? Or is it back to GMT?
No, it's PST now, isn't it? Because we're in...
It's PST. It's UK time, folks.
Yeah.
Just check that first.
So I think if you're in LA or New York, you'll probably be asleep, but...
Yeah.
Tough shit. Maybe I'm going to try and get them.
She's not changing it for no one.
I'm going to try and get them to record it so that I can then either post it somewhere or
take
clips from it. But I'm not counting on that. So if you can be there live, then that would be amazing. But if not, I will try and I'll try and get some kind of recording.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Perfect. Okay.
Well, this was a beautiful little ebb. It was all over the shop. It started off lovely and leisurely, and
that's how these go.
Yeah, I pulled us back on track. See, this is why we need the headline.
Oh yeah, you're taking the glory for this now, are you?
Yep.
I pulled us back on track. This is all me.
Yep. I'd say we should do a poll on Instagram. Anyone that listens can vote. I'd say most people will say
that's not fair. I've already lost this, haven't I?
David, what do you think? The only reason I spotlight you, David, is because you're the
I thought you was talking to me then. I thought, oh my god, she's forgotten my name.
No. That would have been funny. No, shout out to David. Hello, David. Know how to say David's last name. Is it Yatesman or Yateman?
Yeah.
Yateman.
It depends where you're from, I guess. You could say Yatesman. Depends if you pronounce how you pronounce your T's. Or if you pronounce your T's. See, I'm from Essex, so it's Yateman, mate.
Yateman. It's David. Yateman. Yeah, I love hearing from David because he does reach out after most episodes. So shout
out to David. Thank you, David. Appreciate the support.
Yeah, and we know that there's others creeping. We see the statistics. We know that you're listening.
Yeah, so... I've seen you outside my house. just knock on the door, man.
Get the kettle on. They're ringooing. They're waiting to crawl through the screen.
Little plasticine penguins.
Yeah. Reach out, say hello.
Yeah.
Let's connect.
Get in touch.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, Alex.
Thank you. I will. You too. Be productive, guys, and maybe we'll check in again in a week's time.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye.
Stay safe.